Rump steak. Purged aubergine.
Yes.
Egg. Oh. Frittata. Ah, trick question. That's an asthmatic rattlesnake. Okay. Vinyl.
What's cooking on 95BFM?
Just to reiterate.
Indeed!
It's me talking to Trevor Dunn of Mr. Bungle, Phantomers, Melvins, a zillion other bands. Mr. Bungle recently went back and re-recorded their very first demo from 1986 and turned it into a fully fledged new album with a couple extra tracks. This is me chatting to him. They roped in some members of Slayer and Anthrax, and he can tell you more about it. This call started out as a Zoom call, so excuse a little bit at the start where he's talking about turning his camera off.
Is this audio only?
Yeah, this is audio.
Okay, cool. I'll turn my face off then so I don't have to look at it.
Now, Trevor, Mr. Bungle, back in action.
That's true. Well, as much as possible, which isn't much.
How did it all come about? So late last year, you planned some shows and things have sort of taken off from there?
Yeah, the initial plan was just to re-record our first demo. We weren't even really thinking about shows. It was just sort of this conceptual idea, essentially. And then some shows came, you know, we decided, we might as well do a few shows, and it was really fun. And then after the last show, also, I mean, the other thing with doing shows is that it's a really good way to prepare for a record, you know? So then we went to the studio right after the last show and knocked out the record. And then, of course, right after that is when the pandemic hit. So we ended up having to mix it remotely with an engineer in Los Angeles. He was just sending us mixes, and we were sending him gripes and complaints, and eventually got it finished.
Nice. So you've gone back and revisited an EP or a demo from 1985.
Yeah.
How does it feel going back and re-recording music from nearly a lifetime ago?
It was really fun. It was a bit strange because it almost felt like I was learning music that I didn't write, you know, even though a lot of it I did, or, you know, relearning stuff, you know, that Trey and Mike wrote. I mean, I was able to have sort of a little bit of an objective approach to it, you know, which was really fun. And also kind of revisiting in depth this music that I'd, you know, kind of forgotten about exactly what I wrote or why I wrote it. So it was kind of fun to be in that again, you know, kind of basically, you know, having a meeting with my 17-year-old self.
What's it like putting yourself back in your 17-year-old brain?
Well, I mean, in this recording studio, when we were in there with Dave and Scott, me and Mike and Trey were looking at each other like, can you believe this is happening? Can you believe, you know, I mean, our 17-year-old selves would have been crapping themselves for sure, you know, like they wouldn't have they did not see that coming.
Ian Scott from Anthrax and Dave Lombardo from Slayer.
Yeah
What did they bring to the equation?
Authenticity. True metal. I don't know. I mean, Dave was the idea for this came up after meeting Dave and thinking like, man, this music was written with people like him and Scott, you know, all those bands from the, you know, metal bands from the 80s. It was written with them in mind. That's how we were learning how to play that music. And so he was, you know, once we, you know, got to know him and he became friends and a colleague, you know, it was just like a no-brainer. And he was totally down with the idea. And then we had the idea to add Scott to the mix to have a second guitar. And we didn't know him as well, but he ended up being the perfect choice, actually, because they're both of those guys bring a lot of energy. I don't know. I mean, they invented this stuff. So, we were deferring to them a lot of the time, you know, like, how should we make this music work?
How did it go down? Were there still some original copies of the tape, or did someone have some digital files somewhere, or how was the music shared, and how did everyone go about relearning it?
There were never any. This is hilarious, but I mean that original demo was recorded on 4-track tape, and that's all we ever had. There were never any master tapes or anything. I mean, Trey was the one who recorded, and he must have had like the original recording or something, but God knows where that went, you know. So we were actually, me and Trey had to relearn the stuff off of YouTube. And
I've seen like the cover of the tape
on the YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone's and it just sounds horrendous. What's out there, you know, is just, it's degenerated so poorly, you know, that, it wasn't easy. There was actually, I was just telling someone, there was actually, somebody sort of mastered it and cleaned it up a little bit, took some of the noise out and added some low end. And that's the one we were sharing. We were like, oh, check this one out. Somebody, you know, cleaned it up. Let's, you know, you can hear some of the stuff better. And, but even then, me and Trey, we didn't expect Dave and Scott to, you know, learn the music from that. So we actually re-recorded the demo, just like individual songs. We each we divided it up about half and half and you know, it made new demos at home, you know, with digital drums and you know, just all basically like, you know, guitar parts with MIDI drums, you know, just so that they could hear all the transitions more clearly and everything. And then even some of the lyrics from the original demo, we couldn't remember. Mike couldn't remember. So we ended up, there were a couple lines here and there that we had to just, you know, come up with new stuff.
Freshen up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, so as Mr. Bungle, say in an ideal world, COVID vanished tomorrow, were there plans for Mr. Bungle to head out on the road?
We had planned on doing some more shows with this lineup. We booked 7 shows in California and New York, and then we were just starting to talk about doing, you know, a handful of shows in other parts of the States, and also maybe going overseas, maybe doing a couple festivals here and there. You know, not a ton, not a huge tour or anything, but just enough to kind of present it, because it's really fun to play. But hopefully we'll get there at some point. Who knows? I mean,
does the live band include Ian Scott and Dave Lombardo?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It does. Yeah.
Nice.
So this is a totally different version of the band than we've ever presented before. So you know, neither of those guys were involved with Mr. Bungle before.
Snipping in the cup, fucking racing, erasing.
Now, you've been involved with a list of artists the length of my arm throughout your career. I was just really curious about some of your favorite artists that you've played with, or most inspiring artists to work with, you know, throughout your career.
Oh, wow. There's a piano player I've been playing with the past few years named Chris Davis. Originally Canadian, I believe, but she's been in New York quite a while, and she just released a record a couple of years ago that I'm on, that I'm, and I just really love the kind of stuff that she does. Nels Klein is also on that record, and he's another guy that I play a lot with, that's, you know, that I've really enjoyed working with. Buzz Osborne, we just put out a duo record, and he's always a lot of fun to play with and to tour with. So, yeah, I mean, I know what you mean. It's a lot of, sometimes I even forget who I'm playing with.
Is it freeing to sort of drift between genres and, you know, play jazz or experimental, or, you know, straight down the barrel, you know, rock and stuff?
It is. It totally is. I mean, that's one of the reasons I do it, just because I don't think I could play in any one band, you know, all the time. Like, it's really, it's like after doing some shows with this version of Mr. Bungle, which is totally thrash metal, like, I want to go play my upright bass and do something else and maybe improvise or whatever. But yeah, so it is. I sort of thrive on being able to do that, you know, being fortunate enough to be able to do that.
Did you play live with the Melvins?
Yeah, I have. I'm in a version of the Melvins called Melvins Light, where I actually play upright bass. Mm-hmm. And we put out a record a few years ago and did a big tour in the US. Before that I had kind of filled in with them a couple times.
So, yeah. Nice one, nice one. I reckon I kind of have got what I need there. I was just wondering if you would be kind enough to give us a couple of voice IDs for the radio station here in Auckland.
Sure.
It's 95BFM.
95BFM, okay.
95BFM.
Okay. Just say whatever I want.
Just say whatever you want. Just like, hey, it's Trevor Dunn, blah, blah, okay. Blah, 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 right. Blah, blah. You're listening to 95BFM.
All right. Hey, all you bogans down there in Kiwi land. This is Trevor Dunn from Mr. Bungle and various other bands. You're listening to 95BFM.
Do you have bogans in... You don't use that word in North America, do you?
No, we don't. But I have a good friend who's a Kiwi, and I have a couple Aussie friends in New York. So
yes.
They've taught me the word bogan. It's,
yeah, it's such a good and word, it's
so, a really good word.
It's so great when people from the US are like yes and latch onto it.
Yeah. Also, it's not easy. I think culturally there are some differences. Like we have. I think we, you know, in the States we have what we call like rednecks, yep, or whatever, but there's, you know, there's cultural differences and it's fun to like discuss those. Like, wait, is that a bogan thing? You know?
Yeah.
So
is that bogan or redneck? Yeah.
Yeah. I was just telling my, I'm actually at my mother's house right now and visiting her and I was just telling my Kiwi friend that I was out in the backyard, tearing down a fence with a crowbar for my mother, and I said, how bogan is that?
Yeah. It's bogan. It's bogan.
Do.
That was What's Cooking on 95 BFM.